Monster.
It's Wine. And this podcast may not be suitable for all ages.
The opinions we have in our podcast aren't necessarily the same of those of the Comic Bastards.
So blame us if things get too saucy.
Or too awesome.
Let's go! Oh, I'm just gonna let you figure out who you're listening to. This is the Monster and Wine Hour, if you didn't know.
Yeah. Cha cha cha.
Wine.
I'm Monster. I was gonna say that means something to people that have been following us for a long time.
Oh yeah. Cha cha cha. Yeah, I've been thinking of some ideas with that. It's gonna be interesting.
Here's a question.
Uh-huh.
What year did we work on that first episode? What year was that?
I think the very first year, I want to say...
When was Guns and Nuns?
It might have been 2007. I know that the second one was 2008.
Oh, my.
So the first one was before 2008.
Oh my god, that's shocking to me.
I know.
I'm so old. What happened? Where'd the time go?
I don't know.
We're knocking on a 10-year anniversary?
I know. That's why I'm kind of like figuring out the I'm not going to go into my ideas here, but
yeah, don't.
Yeah.
But wow, folks. Wow.
So it's not done. I've decided that this is going to be my lifelong project.
Well, that's cool though.
And it's just always gonna morph, and maybe, you know, God willing and the creek don't rise, I live to be 94. Maybe if NPR is still around, who knows? That seems really shaky right now. But yeah. That they'll do a story on me and they'll be like, it's a series. It's little seen by anyone, but it's a gem. It's just a remarkable, staggering achievement for someone who is so obscure.
You're listening to This American Life.
Yeah.
I'm Ira Glass Jr.
Exactly. That would be amazing.
He follows in his father's footsteps.
Ira Glass Jr.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's my
new dream.
Yeah. Should get a hold of Ira Glass now and be like, if you have a son, make sure he follows in your footsteps of a public radio host.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Oh, I got some things.
Oh, I hope.
Took some notes.
I know we don't really date ourselves, but I took the opportunity to make myself my own green beer today because it's St. Patty's Day. And I don't go out at bars or do any of that, but I just thought it would be fun. I had some food coloring, a pint glass. Mm-hmm. So happy St. Patty's Day.
Hey, happy St. Patty's Day to you. I was thinking it was this weekend and not today. So I'm at the store this morning. Oh, and everyone's wearing green. And I'm like, look at this. People are just getting in the mood. The whole time I'm thinking people are just like really gearing up for the weekend. I'm like, you're all wearing green already. How about that? So I was like, wow, every aisle's empty, but the mixer's aisle. The alcohol. I wasn't putting it together.
Yeah, you're just walking around it. Just look at everyone. Just look. This is what I like to see. Who says this is a nation divided?
Yeah, totally oblivious. But I am drinking a Korean beverage called Chilsung cider.
Oh, it's Chilsung cider. Is it an apple cider?
It's a lemon lime drink. It's like Sprite and 7 Up reproduced.
I don't
know. Yeah, Chilsung means Big Dipper or Seven Stars, literally. like the Big Dipper.
Seven.
I had no idea.
So they looked up at the Big Dipper and they said, that looks like crisp, refreshing lemon. And then the other guy was like, and lime. And he was like, oh my God.
He was like, pound it, bruh.
That's it. While they were drinking a 7-Up, I bet. One had a 7-Up, one had a Sprite.
And then they clang cans together.
Yeah.
And then, oh man, that's the commercial.
That's what and then they look up at the Big Dipper and they look down at their cans. I don't know though, Jason. This might be too homoerotic for people.
Well, after the cans clanging, they're both holding Chilsung cider cans.
Yeah, like they, yeah, I like it, but you know, I don't know. Well, might be a little too risque. We'll change it. We'll have to change it to a man and a woman unless we want to be.
Like, I mean, it's not like they're clanging genitals together.
No, but that's what we're saying.
Oh,
but
are we?
Not saying it. No, we're not saying it, but that's what people are going to read into saying it. And then they're going to read into that being something bad. And then it's like, it just depends on what direction we want to go with. And if we're like, you know what, fuck it. This is what we believe in. Then we'll go that way. But if we don't, you know, it's a whole thing. We'll have to get the PR involved.
I was just thinking more of like the origins of the drink. More than just two random guys. I thought like the guys that came up with the drink. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it's good though. Like,
what if it was two? What if it was a woman? Ah, see, we were already. We lost it.
What do I know? I wouldn't say it's a hobby, but I do love to browse Asian markets and get random snackies and drinks. And this was on my most recent visit. Oh shit. Ooh. You hear that burp?
Yeah, that was Big Dipper.
That's the Big Dipper.
Maybe we change the whole origin campaign. Maybe somebody spilled their 7-Up into somebody else's Sprite. They drank it. It caused them to belch and they imagine, wow, that belch was like the Big Dipper going in and scooping that belch out of my insides.
I'd have fun with that. That'd be a fun ad.
Again. Man, I'm on fire right now. This is the peak of my advertising career.
Lotte Chilsung Cider, where you at? Contact us.
Because tomorrow, this will all be gone.
Right. This is all just fleeting anyway.
Yeah.
I'm talking about life now. What? This week, I'm telling you, it's been rough for the old Jason.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. That's the problem. Tuesday morning, I woke up feeling as if, you know that expression, did anyone get the license plate of that truck?
Oh, this is,
like you've been hit?
Yes, but I usually know what hit me, and it was usually wine.
I couldn't tell like what was doing, but I know that I've had this problem before. I think I emailed you about it and you made a great little comparison to me hardcore dancing even in my dreams.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I'm in the pit in my dreams and I'm getting beat up. It's like when I think almost everyone has experienced that tweaking of the neck muscle where maybe it turned too sharply too quickly and then suddenly like, oh fuck. Like when you turn your head and suddenly everything's very delicate. You have to turn your head back in slow motion and then you remain in slow motion until the pain subsides. It's like that.
I'm looking up something because you continue with your saga, but I might be able to diagnose this.
Well, I don't know what caused it, but I don't think if there's a proper way to sleep, I don't think I'm doing it. And I think I'm a violent sleeper. Like, I thrash around a lot. Sometimes I wake up and the sheets aren't on me, or a pillow's on the floor. I think
good
that
pillows
has
on
some,
the floor.
Yeah, like I'm just like throwing things off of me and thrashing. And I'm sure that must play into it somehow with me involuntarily moving in certain ways. God knows. Oh man, I need CCTV in my room. But yeah, and it fucked my neck up something fierce. And it's just now, this was Tuesday morning, it's just now starting to feel normal again. It really feels like I don't know if it's really a pinched nerve, because I've never had a pinched nerve diagnosed formally by a doctor. But I just like to say that because it's the only thing that I can think of whenever it feels like I can't even turn my fucking head to the side without wanting to punch a baby. Just out of the frustration and pain. And it's so all-encompassing in the neck and kind of the shoulder area, where I'll be laying in bed and I can't even lift my head off the fucking pillow without really, really struggling.
What about any numbness or tension in your fingers?
No. I mean, my hand, like everything else is normal. Hmm. It's like my head, it makes it seem like my head weighs like 200 pounds. And it's just this big iron weight on top of a pillow. That's what it feels like when I try to lift my head off the pillow. And sometimes I slide my hands behind my head to help push it up.
Now, in your everyday activities, not just work, but everybody, we've all got these phones and whatnot. When you're looking at your phone, your laptop, your tablet, how often are you looking down?
It's hard to say. I mean, because the problem is with the phone situation is that it has become such a secondhand, like, without any thought sort of routine, that it's in my memory 1 second and out the next.
But you're on your phone a lot, would you say?
Yeah, I would say so, doctor.
I wonder if you're not suffering from technology neck.
The techno neck?
Yeah.
I can't even say that you're out of your mind. I mean, sounds just as
plausible
as anything else.
If you're sensing numbness or tension in your fingers, you should go to the doctor. Like migraine, headaches.
No, head's fine. Fingers are fine. Toes are not tingling. Everything's...
What about your posture? Do you... Nobody really holds their phone at eye level. So we're all kind of like looking down. And that puts a lot of... Because, I mean, all of our heads are big. Mm-hmm. Remember Jerry Maguire, 8 pounds. And you're leaning...
My head's quite big.
Yeah, you're leaning forward, down. It's putting a lot of strain on your neck. I'm not also ruling out my initial... hardcore mosh pit in your sleep thing. Mm-hmm. But I also, because you are on your phone a lot, I do wonder if maybe that has contributed to this sudden escalation, if you will.
Well, I will say it probably ain't helping. So I've just been going hard at it with the pain pills.
Whoa.
What? Not like overdosing or anything.
No, I know, but there's like, they've said, I know studies, they'll say anything. I've long suspected this, but they say that like all the, your ibuprofens, your Advils, your Nuprins, your Aleves, your Tylenols, that they all have this common component. I don't know if it's a chemical. Fine, we'll say it's a chemical. That you're at a, like 31% more higher risk of having a cardiovascular incident. It's okay in small doses. You don't want to take this chronically because your neck is hurting, so every day you're taking aspirin or Advil or Aleve.
Right. And I don't even take pills usually when I have a headache.
Yeah.
Like, but this was just like, well, maybe it's, you know, there's like some inflamed muscles, obviously, in my neck and shoulder area. So I mean, if it helped the pain a bit, obviously that'd be great. But I was just kind of thinking about the possible muscle inflammation as well. So I did take some ibuprofen and I was slapping the old icy hot in that area. Getting in deep with a deep massage hand.
That's good. Let me see if I can find real quick more things. You can try the
Thermacare patch that goes around your neck and shoulder area.
Yes, I know it well.
Yeah, so I was just full on assault. But, you know, thankfully I'm moving, I'm grooving.
Have you been doing any lower back exercises?
I did strain myself on Sunday quite a bit. But then I thought, well, if that was it, I didn't really feel much on Monday until late Monday night. So maybe it just took a bit.
There is a thing. It's a delayed onset of, I forget what it is.
The only thing I can think of was I was doing a lot of shit on Sunday, digging through a lot of boxes, lifting a lot of stuff all day long, basically. And then Monday up until like around 9 on Monday night, then I started feeling it.
That's usually what happens with me. If I haven't exercised in a while and then I do an exercise or something, I usually don't wake up, sore. It usually kicks in like the day after late. So then you're like, what the hell was that? Really?
That's got to be what it was, because it's the only thing kind of out of the ordinary where I was straining myself in a way that I don't do routinely.
That probably is it.
Yeah. Because it was a lot of like straining different parts of my body that I don't typically do. A lot of bending over, insert dick and butt joke here. And, you know, various things like that. And it was just like, you know, out of the ordinary in terms of my routine. So
yes.
And I probably didn't pace myself as well as I should. I have a habit of just trying to get shit done as fast as possible instead of pacing myself.
Oh, you and I both. I got my life. I spent all Saturday putting my life back together.
It fell apart.
It had. I mean, if you listen to the last episode, you know that the whole living room situation was in a turmoil.
Yeah.
And so Saturday, I basically moved back in.
We had to unbox everything.
I had to unbox everything, put everything back. And you know me, I wasn't stopping until everything was back in its right place.
Yeah. I'm very much like that as well. I'm just like, no, if I can get this done now, I really want to get it done now.
Yeah. I have people, they were like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm putting my life back together. I'm not going anywhere right now.
We are definitely not procrastinators.
No, and you know I'm not a multitasker.
Right. So you said. You're like, this will be known.
I had a moment today where I just laughed to myself because I was like, yeah, I'm not a multitasker. We went and got food, and other people, they can eat. They eat their lunch and they work. I can't do that. I need to focus. I need to eat, finish eating, and then I go back and do my work. I can't, like, take a bite, go work, take a bite. I'm like, no. It was driving me crazy trying to.
You drive me crazy.
Exactly.
Right. This, I gotta talk about this. Now, what's one of my favorite bands, if not my favorite band, Aaron?
Blink 182.
There you go. Whew. I knew you'd get it.
I almost said All Time Low, and I was like, no, I don't know if he likes them or he just talks about them a lot.
I would have hung up suddenly. So they released California, the album, on July 1st, 2016. I'm already shocked a little bit at how much time has passed since they put this album out.
It's like a whole world ago.
I am. I'm like, really? It was July of last year? Why? Where's the time? Go next. I got a baby coming tomorrow. That's how much time's flying.
So, you're really obsessed with time this episode.
I am. God, that's going to work its way into the title somehow. So they put out California, and it had 16 tracks on it.
It's kind of beefy.
It's beefy, but it's very pop-punky. So we're talking 2.5 to 3 minutes, right?
It's a manageable beef.
Yeah. Two tracks are like 16 seconds and 30 seconds. So you see. Now, coming up here, what is it? Pardon me. Kill some time, Aaron.
Oh, snap. Oh, well, you know, like they say, it goes.
All right, that'll do. okay, March 16th. No, not March 16th. I'm sorry. May 19th. They are releasing the deluxe edition of California.
Deluxe
edition re-release of the album.
They have a looser arrangement with time than you do.
It's 11 new songs. I'm sorry, that's a full album, by the way, people.
Yeah.
And, quote, it's a double album at this point, and it's more of an extension of what we did in the studio earlier. Some of the songs were songs that we did not put on the first album, but are great songs. Translation, B-sides. And some are brand new that we just wrote last week, Hoppus said to Billboard magazine. So I'm guessing it's a half and half thing. It's like, hey, we got some ideas for some new songs. And then obviously we have some B-sides that, let's call it spade a spade. They weren't good enough to put on the fucking album. But they just released their first single off the deluxe edition called Parking Lot. And I heard it. It's pretty good. I like the lyrics more than I like the song as a whole, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, these lyrics speak to me. The song itself is aight.
Is it about getting older and time passing?
I guess you could almost look at it that way if you wanted to.
I bet it is.
But it's about growing up in the punk rock scene and going to shows and venues that meant stuff to you and kind of getting older.
That's cool. Getting older and time passing.
Yeah, and those venues becoming parking lots.
Oh, I called it. Called it.
Yeah. Hey, look, you called it. So the reason I bring it up is because, well, I love Blink-182, but also because I really don't like the practice of a deluxe album that is like, I just bought two albums and I'm rebuying the first fucking album in a way. I think they should release it and just call it California Part 2 and just put the 11 new songs on it instead of making it a double disc. And all the people that bought California a year ago are like, so I gotta buy this again, huh?
I think they should give it. I don't even think it should be a part two. I think they're missing a huge opportunity here that they should just come up with a new name. And in their head, they were like, oh, yeah, well, it, you know, all of us, we refer to it as California Part 2, but we released it as blah, blah, blah. And then it becomes, like, super nerdy for super fans to go, like, oh, do you know that that blah, blah, blah album is really California Part 2?
Yeah. Well, new album has 11 new songs and a 12th track, which is the acoustic version of Bored to Death, which is the first single from California. Give you a quick track listing here. Parking Lot, Misery, Good Old Days. Wow, they really are about time. Don't Mean Anything. Hey, I'm Sorry. Hey, I'm Sorry, by the way, was released, at least on YouTube, shortly after the first California album was put out. So I knew that that was like an immediate B-side, didn't make the cut. And it's a good track, by the way. A little repetitive on the chorus, but what are you going to do? Number six, Last Train Home. I hear that track title and I think of Lost Prophets, and then I think of Kitty Fiddlin'.
Oh, I don't. I thought of Crazy Train for some reason.
Well, and I don't want people to think I just think of Kitty Fiddlin', but because the singer of Lost Prophets is in prison for doing things to children, and one of their biggest singles was Last Train Home. Anyway, seven, Wildfire, eight, Six Eighths. I have a hard time pronouncing that. It got very sissy just now. Nine, Long Lost Feeling. 10, Bottom of the Ocean.
Hilarious.
And 11, their joke track, Can't Get You More Pregnant.
Oh, well.
Because they have goofy tracks on every album. Like Bohemian Rhapsody was their silly track on the first California.
They're so just waka waka.
You're so blank. So there you have it.
I wonder what the strategy is behind that. I would think that they would sell more records if it was a completely new entity, just title-wise. But if they aren't super confident in these songs, then I could see how they would just say, oh, it's deluxe. Because don't you think the critics would be nicer?
And I think fans will sniff out the B-side bullshit right away if they tried to release it as an all-new album.
Oh, all right. Like,
I don't think that would go over well. By the way, the California tour grossed more than $30 million from its first U.S. leg, with a total attendance of 745,000 people.
Yeah.
Just the first leg.
I mean, that's what you have to do as a band, that you get good enough and you are able to sustain and have a longevity where your fans are then in positions where they have a whole lot of discretionary income and then they can just fork over however much money. It's why the Rolling Stones are so huge. Like the Eagles, Glenn Frey died, and they're still going to go on tour because the people that like the Eagles have a lot of money.
Right.
That's the key to success.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah, so, you know, being the super fan that I am, I will I'll keep an ear out. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Thank you. Now, another thing I wrote down, because this came to me over the past week. I've been doing a lot of digging through old shit, getting rid of stuff, doing cleaning, you know?
Right.
I come across a relic from yesteryear. Something that I had really kind of thought was lost after all the years. And I said, this was a moment for me. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a bomber jacket. Okay? A bomber jacket that I won in a nationwide Nintendo competition.
Jason, you weren't talking about a regular bomber jacket. Sounds like you were talking about a Nintendo bomber jacket.
A Nintendo Super Star Fox Weekend Competition bomber jacket.
I don't know what most of those words mean.
Well, I'll tell you what that means, Aaron. It was 1993. Your boy was 13 years old, people, if any of you are keeping track here. Nintendo, the Super Star Fox Weekend Competition was held at 1,500 locations in the United States during the weekend of April 30th to May 2nd, 1993. The purpose of the competition was to promote the release of Star Fox, which at the time was the largest single release in video game history to that point, with some 1.7 million carts available worldwide at launch. The hype was likely deemed necessary by Nintendo to recoup the investment made in the development of the Super FX chip, which had been in development since before the Super Nintendo was ever released. This cart had been known to collectors as Star Fox Super Weekend for years, though officially this is incorrect and should be Super Star Fox Weekend. So that was the competition. Now, the only place you could play this special competition version of the Star Fox game was at Electronics Boutique. Are you familiar with Electronics Boutique?
Was it in a mall?
Yeah, they were mostly in malls, and they were kind of like the go-to place for all video game stuff before basically GameStop came. And
yeah, I only went in there to buy my brother gifts.
Right. This was like, my brother and I would always go to Electronics Boutique to look at new games. So this is where they were having the competition. There was like a little kiosk put in each of the stores, and they had the game set up on there, and you had an employee wearing a Star Fox smock, and he would watch you play and be the official, you know, taker of the numbers, so to speak. Now, the prizes for this, the Super Star Fox Weekend, it was held at various stores. Ah, okay, I didn't know this. Including Toys R Us, Electronics Boutique, that was where I went, Blockbuster, Media Play, and KB Toys. Oh man, I remember KB. Employees who worked at the event got a yellow apron to wear. The goal of the contest was to score the highest amount of points at the location during the weekend. All participants got a Star Fox pin. I remember that. Participants who got over the 70,000 point threshold received a Star Fox Super FX t-shirt. Got that too. The winner at each store got a nifty bomber jacket. I was the winner.
Wow. I'm looking up the... Did you post pictures of yourself in the jacket? Because I did a Star Fox bomber jacket search. And there's
all
this,
black?
There's this dude posing in it, but you can't see his face.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, it could totally be you.
I didn't. But, yeah. And the grand prize was a trip for four to a location of your choice, either London, Paris, Sydney, or Tokyo, or you get a lump sum of $15,000. And the guy, I guess, that won, he was from Garland, Texas, and he decided to take the lump sum of $15,000.
Damn.
But, yeah, the first prize was this bomber jacket. And imagine my surprise. I got this big-ass box in the mail and a Star Fox bomber jacket. And even more so when I looked on eBay.
Yeah, how much is it?
Star Fox bomber jacket. I'm typing it right now if you hear some clicking, people. Star Fox. Oh, jeez, these idiots. Star Fox. Star Fox Weekend jacket, maybe?
You did bomber jacket?
Got it. There's two on there. One's listed for $1,500.
Damn!
And the other one's listed for $1,750.
So I guess you're not wearing it.
No, no. It's cleaned. It's taken care of. I'm looking at it. And I'm going to try and sell that when I'm 55, I guess. When there's a new generation of youngins that come up and, you know, have a boner for retro gaming, and they come across old Star Fox and they're like, there was a competition for this back in 1993. Oh my God. And then boom. But anyway, it's cool. It's like, yeah, I got that just from being good at a dumb fucking video game.
Yeah, you legitimately won it with skill.
Yeah, I was just in the zone. I remember me and my ugly glasses just sitting there. Pew, 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 pew. I was in the zone. I knew that shit. Because it was like my favorite game at that time. It was like the shit. And it's still a legitimately good game. But I knew that shit. Back to front, or whatever the expression is. And yeah, I did really well, and Nintendo apparently recognized that, so thank you, Nintendo. Man. Now if you just make some more Switches, you fucks.
Oh, still hard to come by.
Still sold out everywhere. Man. Sons of bees. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that, because I found that just this past week, and I thought it was long since gone and lost in piles of nothingness. But yeah. Holy crap.
Wow.
Found this. And it's like a legitimately hard to get thing. Like, you either had it or you didn't. It's not like they had like companies making this jacket, like knockoff versions of it or anything.
Did you ever wear it?
Never.
Never. Why not?
I don't know. I think I just wore it to kind of try it on.
Oh, was it just too pristine? That's how I felt about my Chicago Bulls satin starter jacket.
Well, I think it was just like, I don't want to wear it because it was a prize.
Oh.
Like, it was something I won. And I wanted to keep it in good condition. And you know, here we are. I mean, do the math, Aaron. 1993.
It's like you knew.
Carry the two.
It's like 23 years.
So, almost, yeah,
24.
And it's still in great condition because it's never been worn.
Wow. That, yeah, is a nice little investment you have there.
Yeah, that is, it could, I think it very well could be. You know how nerds are these days, especially collector nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds. God bless them. Can't live with them, can't live without them. But yeah, that was one of the few things that I won just from like that was like a video game prize, obviously. And then the other thing I won was that guitar.
Oh, so, yeah.
Signed by the Donnas. They're not even a group anymore. Go fucking figure.
It was so random when I saw that. Like, I'm like, what is that? It's a guitar signed by the Donnas. I'm like, wow, it's so random. Because I remember in college, there was a guy that lived in my house that he loved the Donnas and the Runaways so much that his senior project was about like a girl rock band.
Wow.
So that's why I was like, the Donnas? You gotta be kidding me.
Well, I had two options as to who would sign my guitar that I won. And one was the Donnas and the other was Simple Plan.
Okay, and explain. This, huh.
Simple Plan is still a thing, as you may or may not know. They're very popular. They're still putting out records. They sell out pretty big venues, yada, yada, yada. But I went with the band that I liked.
Nice.
Instead of the band that I thought was just more popular. Because I would have thought, oh, I got a guitar song by Simple Plan, but I have no kind of feeling toward it whatsoever, other than, boy, I hope I can sell you someday. But with the Donnas, I legitimately like them. I have all their albums. I've seen them live a handful of times, and they might not be a band anymore, but I still think I got a guitar song by a band that I really liked.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, Simple Plan, whatever. What are you going to do? What are you going to fucking do? Hmm. Oh, so, here's an update. Oh, shit, Cider. On Operation Asia.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Now, I told you that the Japan gig is all but mine, right?
I pretty much just assumed.
Yeah, it's a fair assumption at this point. So then I started telling you about the Korea gig and how this could be an interesting option.
Yes.
Based on its benefits.
Its benefits, it's a different country, so it's a different experience. But yeah, right. A similar experience.
Right. So it'd be a new adventure for me. I've been there before, so there's a little bit of familiarity, but still a lot of unexplored territory.
A bit of a political quagmire at the moment, but who here isn't amongst one?
You know, I mean, come on. We're all just trying to live. And some benefits, if you don't know, ladies and germs, the biggest one is they provide you with a rent-free apartment. I mean, that right there. That's the biggest benefit, in my opinion.
It's huge. I can't imagine. It would be unbelievable.
That, and they pay for your plane tickets. So it's kind of like they're saying, yeah, we do want you to come over here. I mean, we'll even pay for your fucking plane ticket. And they pay for it when you leave, whenever that is. So there are some nice benefits here, folks. Now, so I thought, okay, let me do my research. As Aaron knows, I have my alter ego, Captain Research. I started researching schools, and private schools in Korea have a really bad reputation. At least as far as the internet's concerned. And let's face it, that's where a lot of us do our research these days.
Wow, really? Private schools have a bad reputation?
Yeah. As private, not as in like exclusive private academy type of private, but more like not your typical public school, more like an independent business owned and operated public private schools.
Hmm.
Like some asshole that just decides he wants to open a school overnight could do it and then hire some foreign teachers. And then he's like, oh, wait, I don't have any money to fucking pay these guys. So what do? I just tell him I'll get it back to him. And, you know, like horror stories like that are all too plentiful on the internet about these private schools in Korea. So it's always been a deterrent for me because of that. It scared me away, basically. And then you got to think, well, the internet is where people go to complain. It is where they go to cry foul about anything and everything. But then you start seeing enough stories.
Yeah, it's a temper tantrum. The internet can be a giant temper tantrum for adults.
So, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt, as you should, but then when you start to see enough horror stories,
yeah,
you don't necessarily believe it all, but you do take notice. You're like, okay, all right, this is no longer just a couple of assholes on a message board. And so I talked with Aaron about it. I said, the only way I'm going to be interested in this is if I go with one of the biggest companies, like, we're going for name recognition, brand recognition here. In order to give me some comfort in regards to job stability and security. So that's what I did. I said, what the fuck? I'll apply. I applied to the school. One of the biggest in the country. And they're even in other countries too. I mean, that's how gangbusters they are. So I get contacted by their North American branch, which is how they recruit teachers. They're based out of Massachusetts. This lady, she says, we got to do an interview. I said, all right, I'll do this interview. This interview was to ask me, obviously, various questions about my professionalism, my experiences, and yada, yada, yada. And I also had to do a 5-minute lesson role play. Well, like Aaron said, she said, improv, baby. Just think of it as improv.
Yeah, nailing it.
So that's what I did. I had to pick a topic. There was 4 topics to choose from. Did I tell you this?
No, I didn't know you have 4 topics to choose from.
I had 4 topics to choose from. One of them was video games.
Huh.
Which,
I mean, come on. Get out of here. Are you serious?
Right.
Might as well just offer me the position.
Just cater it to me. Come on.
Yeah. Why are we wasting everyone's time?
The other topics were like celebrity idolizing and how, you know, it says, you know, some people think that there's nothing wrong with idolizing celebrities. However, critics think that some celebrities are simply false idols.
Oh, my God. Did you say, is there a time limit to this interview?
I did. Then there was gene therapy. Hmm. And I thought, who are these fucking kids? Like, I've taught kids in Japan for 3 years and I could barely hold a freaking conversation. But artificial intelligence was the 4th one. All interesting topics in the room, yes. Right? But of course I went with video games. Of course. And I told the lady that on the phone. I said, look, I got to go with my heart. And this is...
Look, lady, in 1993, you're talking to an award-winning video game, dare I say, artist.
If only I had put those two things together and I said, listen, can I take you back to 1993? But yeah, went with video games, nailed it. Almost immediately after I had this phone call, I got a glowing email from her about how successful my interview was.
Hey, you were just like, look. You all are thinking that we're playing baseball, but we're playing t-ball here.
Mm.
You put the ball in the tee, and I smacked it out of the park.
Home run, baby. Home run, baby.
Grand slam. The bases were loaded.
And I thought to myself, am I pretty good and sell myself short, or is your bar really low?
Ooh, that?
Yeah.
Well, how blown away were they? You know what I'm trying to say.
Did they seem really impressed?
No, I'm trying to say, like, it was their amount of them being blown away. Did you feel as though it was enough justified, or were you like, really? Because I phoned this in, and your praise of this is out of proportion.
No, you know what? I think I did my best to put to knock it out of the park.
So do you feel that their praise was about on par with the performance that you did?
I like to think so.
All right.
I want to think so. I don't want to think that, well, most of the people you hire... and experienced shitheads. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, it's probably both. You're probably better than you give yourself credit for, and at the same time, not as good as you give yourself credit for.
Yeah. But for the sake of my own personal confidence, I'll just take solace in the fact that I think that I did the best that I could.
Yeah.
And I won't try to worry about the other bullshit. So then after that, you're thinking, oh, well, damn, now what, you know? Because if I nail the interview, what's next? And then they send you this other email asking for all this documentation, you know, signed, sealed, and all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make an introduction video.
Oh, man. Too bad you moved away.
You gotta film yourself. But the video can't be longer than a minute and a half.
Well, we have that scene from The Legend of Billy Rubin where you show up and you say, if it ain't white, string it up tight.
Well, it has to be like a legitimate introduction video about like who you are and what your experience is and what you can bring to their company. And you have to cram it all in a minute and a half. And that's not a long time to kind of...
It's an eternity in video.
I thought it would be, but when I was done with saying everything that I wanted to say, I thought, oh, okay, well, that's everything I want to say. And in terms of making it all sound good and like it makes sense, it was like over 2 minutes.
Well, that's because you're saying it. You're not showing it.
So I got real familiar with the video editing software on my tablet, and I made some edits, cut some chunks out, and got it down to about 130.
Oh, man.
131. Wow. Yeah, and... Yeah, and then...
So they specifically... Did they say they wanted a video, or they were specific in that we want you talking to the camera, explaining yourself? Or was it more open-ended?
No, it was what you just said.
I don't know. I'm out on this school. Obviously.
What?
It's just... This is
because they don't want creative flair in the video?
I mean, anyone can do it now. You go on Instagram, everyone has their own vlogs and whatnot doing all of this different stuff. I mean, you're asking someone, get on and tell me about yourself. No. You want to entertain kids, you gotta know that you need to entertain people. You gotta show them. Don't tell them.
But here's the thing. I get the feeling that they're more interested in the educational aspect than the entertainer aspect.
What is teaching but entertaining?
I know that. But I don't know what I'm dealing with these Koreans.
This is the problem. This is why they have all followed behind Samsung. And look what this has gotten them. This is North Korean thinking that... Like, I thought we were in a cultural war. Unbelievable.
Listen, I'm just playing the game. And, you know, then I submit that, and then I get another email saying,
I shudder to think of the lighting you used.
Oh, it's well lit. It's well lit. I promise you.
And the framing of everything, did you leave enough headroom?
I think so. I think I did frame it quite well.
What was your aspect ratio?
No idea.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't just use my phone. And your microphone?
Did you just use the... What comes with stuff? Did you have an external mic?
I wasn't making a movie for it.
Unbelievable. Did you white balance?
Hell no.
Jesus. These people.
Listen.
Amateur night in Dixie.
Bang, bling, ding, 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 ding. So, wow, you just derailed my train. So what they do is they take the video and then they upload it into their database. And you're basically in this...
That's creepy. It
is creepy. You're in this kind of foreign teacher database for the schools in Korea to browse through and kind of pick the one that they think is best suited for their school. And then if they pick you, you get an offer letter basically from them.
And?
Oh, I mean, we're not that far yet. Oh. But the lady from the recruiting office said she would expect to have an offer for me by Monday for Seoul.
Oh, yeah. You got the look.
Because I told her I'm only interested in two cities in that whole fucking country. And if you give me anything else, I'll give you a middle finger. And she said, I'll note that on your application.
Man, that's what it's like. That's the power that you have when you look like an, quote, all-American. When you are an all-American man, you have the power to say, yeah, you could put me in the database, but if you ain't Seoul or this other city, you can fuck off. Yeah. Jamal and Pedro are not given that luxury.
Well, look, I was just being honest. I said, I'm not interested in your shit unless you put me in a hopping and popping city.
Oh, because you are their vision of America.
Yeah, brown hair, green eyes, white skin, I suppose.
Man.
If that's what they're into. But yeah.
Well, I would love to for somebody to do that test, to have you and then some dark-skinned black guy. And then they're like, which of these teachers do you want to come to your school? And it depends on how progressive that school is.
Please don't make me feel guilty about being white.
I'm not making you feel guilty about it. It just made me laugh because I instantly was like, oh, this could go so wrong for other people.
For a black guy. If they threw that gauntlet down.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a black guy. It could be someone who's Hispanic or something. Like a very Hispanic-looking person.
Well, I know for a fact, well, not firsthand, obviously, but that African Americans really have a tough time getting. I mean, I know you're going to laugh and just be like, what else is new? But they have a really tough time getting teaching jobs in Asia. I mean, believe it or not, dear Americans listening to this, but Asians can discriminate too. Wink. But it's so bizarre because it's like, if let's say we had this situation that you just said, right? Like,
right.
White guy on the left, black guy on the right, and they were like looking at the candidates or whatever, they would totally go with the white guy. But it's because they've convinced themselves that even though that black guy was, let's say, born and raised in America, he's a native English speaker just as much as the white guy, they don't associate black skin guy with being a native English speaker. It's incredibly backwards thinking, but that's why a lot of African Americans have a hard time getting teaching abroad jobs, especially like in China. That's what I've heard.
I think that's a very nice way to think of that. I think that maybe a portion of that is true, but I don't think that it's because they're a native speaker.
I mean, it could be Chinese people thinking like, well, the black guy is going to steal everything in our office.
I think
they're not going to put that in the reading material,
no,
though.
No, they're not. That doesn't get published in the study. What gets published in the study is that they assume that they can't speak
English as a second language or something.
Yes. Or it goes back to that whole, oh my God, you're so well-spoken. Which, you know, either way you cut it.
Oh, that's, what do we call that?
Microaggressions.
Yeah. That's right. We were just like, thanks? Kind of always spoke this way?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exactly
it's
that.
It's kind of the classic, you know, they don't really have that many black people. So, the problem of why the black guy has a hard time getting a teaching job in America is it's the same issue as the black guy's facing in America. you can say like, oh, it's because he doesn't think he's a native speaker. People think that here. It's the same. It's the same.
I at this point, you're telling the listeners because I get it. I mean, it's not easy being black people. Discrimination. It's global. It's a global thing. So, I mean, you know, as a white guy, if I see a black guy overseas doing that thing, I'll just be like, hey man, you made it. you know, you made it. I was talking about your plight on my podcast.
You must be so well spoken.
Just be like, you know, we discussed your plight on my podcast.
I feel you, bro. I feel you. You do a chest bump and you go in. You're like,
and then I'll be like, here's the web address, by the way, for any of that episode.
That's fine. I think you're going to have, it's going to come down to your basic problem from the beginning, which, where am I going? Am I going to Japan or am I going to Korea? Because you're going to get both.
Right.
And you already know the answer.
Do-do-do. And that is where we'll end this episode.
Boom.
That's a great cliffhanger.
Wait, we should give a car talk update.
Oh, you've got an update.
I have an update. Apparently the news, it set me in a bit of a tizzy today. There's a bit of a recall with the Hyundai Elantras.
Yes. A very vague recall.
A vague yet troubling recall, as the problem isn't about, airbags. Because I've had an airbag recall on my Corolla for about 6 years.
Right.
This recall is regarding brakes.
As in, I'm not slowing down as fast as I should be.
Yeah, as in, what the fuck?
Right.
I need to be able to go. I need to be able to stop. Call me crazy.
But the problem with the recall is that it doesn't list any models of the Elantra.
Right.
That's the problem. Because Erin is interested in a specific model that she's planning to test drive.
I made an appointment because I read that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I made an appointment to test drive an Elantra Eco. Echo. Eco. I said it Eco. Right. Eco. Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I will go. I just want to see how it drives. I want to see,
how it feels.
How it feels. Sort of get a lay of the land. Actually see an inside of it. Actually say, tell me what, just standard. What you, like, I'm not paying any extra. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there and then be like, thank you very much, and be on my way.
Right. And like I said, let them know that you are very aware of the recall involving the brakes.
Oh, yes. I'm going to ask when I get in the car, when was this manufactured?
Right. Because if it was between September of 2016 and January of this year, I know that there's an issue with some Elantra models, and I don't want to be rear-ending anybody during this test drive.
Rear-ending? I don't want... What is this? Is it just... We're just rolling the dice here with our lives? Is this YOLO? Test drive's YOLO now?
But I think just mentioning that is going to show them what kind of buyer you are. Someone that has done their research.
Yes. Can you do me a favor and text me the dates again?
I can do that.
Thank you. Because I want to have that, because that sounds like I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like you just didn't stroll in there.
Yeah.
Like you actually looked into this car, the good and the bad, and that you're aware of it. So don't try to sell me a lemon. Don't kid a kidder.
Yeah, don't kid a kidder. I know what kind of horsepower is under this hood. I want to see, you say that there's a little turbo. I want to see how much of a pick-me-up there is. I'm going to be like, excuse me, sir. Also, where's the hill? We need to drive up a hill. This test drive is not over until I drive up a hill.
Right. And they're going to be like, uh-oh. So we can't just tell her it's 30,000 to start.
No. Well, if it was 30,000 to start, I'm just exiting the car as it's driving.
Yeah, you'll be like, all right, this, thank you.
It's just going, it's 30,000, just tuck and roll.
Yeah. So, yeah, you go in there locked and loaded. You ain't joking around.
I ain't. I'm the person who called to make an appointment to test drive. That in and of itself should let you know who you are dealing with.
I'm the one that knocks.
I'm the boss.
Applesauce. Thank you, Judge Judy.
Yes. So there you have it. I will report back next week.
Well, look, we went over, so I'm cool with that. But we put in a good show.
Did work.
Full of content, etc. and so forth. We give a few plugs. We give monsterandwine@gmail.com. We give chachachatv.com, mnw.podbean.com. That's all you need to know, really. And stay tuned for next week, where you might from that cliffhanger we left you with.
Indeed.
That's all I got. So, arrivederci.
Okay, I'm out.